Father, we're grateful, Lord, for this day. We thank you for life. We thank you for the opportunity, once again, to come together in your house. Father, we thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is the reason why we're here. The Bible, the Word of God, is what we're here for, to study and to learn more about him. Now, I pray the Spirit of God that lives in us as your children would enable us today to learn something, Lord, to help us to be what we ought to be for you. Thank you for all your goodness, your mercy. We do pray for those today that are out because of sickness and other reasons, that you bless them and help them to be back next week. Now have your will and way as we look at this portion of Scripture today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Book of James, chapter number 1. We're looking at the Christian living. James is giving instructions for Christians to live in this world. And as we look at this today, we said that the Christian life, we know, is a life of faith. We know that we became a Christian by faith, and we can be a Christian by faith as we journey after we're now saved. So the Christian life is a life of faith. We see here that we talk about the test of our faith, the test of our faith. The test of our faith, we see the purpose of the test, the purpose of the test, and also the profit of the test, the benefit of the test in our lives. So God doesn't allow things to come upon us to hurt us. What comes upon us as his children, especially in this life, is to benefit us, to help us, to grow. And we've talked about that so far. So we're looking at the test of faith, the Christian living. How to live the Christian life. We know James has explained to us why and how we may count trials and tribulations or trials of life opportunities in our life for victory. You know, Christ wants us to grow. Once we become a Christian, we're babes, aren't we? And God wants us to grow in our life and our faith towards him as a believer. So, Christian, we see that God allows things to come into our life. He permits things, tests in our life, to help us to grow and to realize that without him, we're nothing. We can't make it without him. But I'm thankful that with him, we can do all things. We can do all things. So we're seeing to the Christian, Christ is sovereign in every circumstance. Everything we face, Christ is sovereign. We also see Christ is supreme over all. There's no one greater than he is. He's supreme over all things and all people in this world in which we live. Christ is in the believer, and the believer is in Christ. Thank God for that. He lives within my heart, as the songwriter put it. I'm glad he does. So nothing reaches our lives as a Christian without his permission. His permission. He's helping us, again, as he allows things to come into our lives that we might grow and be what he wants us to be as a believer today. So I'm glad today to know that in Christ, he is in control of my life. As long as I focus upon him and live for him, he is in control of everything that happens in my life. And I'm glad today to know that. Therefore, James says in verse 2 that we should count it all joy when we fall into divers temptation. Count it all joy. Rejoice in the Lord. God is trying to direct us. God is trying to help us. He's trying to grow us, if you please, in faith, in looking and living this Christian life. Now, why? We're talking about why trials come. Trials come, again, to develop our character as a Christian, to help us to be more like Jesus, you know? That should be our desire every day of our life, to be more like him. So trials come to develop our character in our life. Trials come also to deepen our prayer life. Help us to pray more, that we might be rooted in his love, knowing how much he does love us. You know, I'm afraid most of us, we really do not realize how much God loves us. He loves us so much that he gave his son to come and die for us. My, what a sacrifice. My, what a love we see in God himself. We also have trials to help us detach ourselves from this world. You know, this world is not our home, is it? We're pilgrims passing through. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we begin to get attached to the world and the things of the world. And sometimes God allows things to come into our life to detach us from this present life. You know, there's a better life awaiting the Christian, folks. There's a better place awaiting us as God's children. And I'm glad today to know that. So we see here why we have trials and all. When we begin to feel at home here and want to settle down, we need to realize that we are pilgrims. Heaven is my home. Heaven is your home. And my, what a place it's going to be. And what reality it's going to become one day to us as we know Christ as our Savior. We can just get a little glimpse of it today from reading His Word and studying His Word. But it's going to be much greater than that. And I'm glad today to know that. God uses trials and things in our life, adversaries, to deepen our love in His, our root in His love, that we might love Him more. So we see today that it's very important as a Christian that we realize these tests in our life are for our good and for God's glory, no matter what we face, not what we face. Now, in chapter 1 of James, we've been going through some of that. We see in this passage what a Christian has, what we have as a Christian. We see here the Christian stand. We have a confident stand, knowing that what God working in our life is what we need in our life. Therefore, we can stand upon Him. No matter what storm may come in our life, we can stand upon Him, knowing that He's working all things for His good in our life as a believer. And I'm thankful today to know that. Now, we've seen in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, we've gone through as of last week, we see here the consequence of sin are also the result of our attitudes, not being responsible, not being responsible. So we see here irresponsible attitudes towards God and self, we see, are a sin and will deaden our faith. It will deaden our faith. We have to be sure, be careful about our attitude towards God and even towards ourselves, that our faith is not dead. We see also that sin, as it is an irresponsible attitude towards God, is irresponsible attitude towards the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Folks, God is good. He's always good. When I'm bad, He's good. He's always good to us in our life, and we need to recognize that. God does not tempt us with evil. We've been through that. In chapter verse number 13, we see that. He does not tempt us with evil. Also, we see God is the Father of light, and He never changes. He never changes in His life, in His goodness. He's immutable. We also see that God has given us the truth for the good, for our good. He's given us the truth, that is the Word of God, for our good. So we see here that sin is irresponsible, is an irresponsible attitude towards the goodness of God. And also we see it's also an irresponsible attitude towards ourselves, towards ourselves. Have you heard when someone said, I know I have many times, your worst enemy sometimes is yourself. Yourself. Sometimes we beat ourselves to death, do we not? Now, we should realize that we are accountable to God, but we don't need to beat ourselves to death because God wants to help us, and God will help us in our life as children of God. Our weakness is a fact that we must reckon with. We must recognize that in verse number 14. James tells us that we must recognize how weak we are. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Our weakness. We see we all have weakness in our life. We also see that our impatience sometimes keeps us from listening and acting on dependence on God's faithfulness. Our impatience. Impatience. May the Lord help us to realize sometimes that we need to learn to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You know, the hardest thing in my life that I'm facing many times is to learn to wait. To learn to wait. You know, you start off in the morning, get up, take off to work, and you find traffic backed up, You find the stoplights, you know, you had to wait and all these things. And then when there's some tragedy takes place, you have to wait. And we get so impatient. I got to be to work at a certain time. You know, we get so impatient. And God is trying to teach us something. He's trying to help us to realize that we need to grow up. You know, our failure to be impatient sometimes will cause us a lot of problems inside. We need to learn to be patient. Be patient in the Lord. Be patient with people. Be patient with circumstances, you say. All these things, God wants us to realize that He is in control. He is in control. Sometimes we're stopped by traffic because there could be a tragedy ahead. And you might be part of that. But God delays you. He stops, He slows you down, you see. And God knows what's best for us every day of our life. Therefore, we need to learn to be patient and wait on the Lord. Our failure also to cleanse ourselves by the Word of God can cause defeat. We know that we all sin every day, do we not? And we need to ask God to forgive us every day. Cleanse us from all sin. Because if we do not, we're going to become defeated. We're going to get out of fellowship with God. And when we're out of fellowship with God, we're going to be defeated. We're going to be defeated. So we see here, James is telling us all this in the passages that we've gone through so far. Now, today, let's look at verse number 17. We got through verse 16 last week. Today, I want to begin reading in verse number 17. God, James says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We see here in this passage of Scripture here about God's goodness again. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And we all say amen to that, right? Every good gift, every perfect gift is from God. Nothing but good comes from God. Nothing but good comes from God, you see here. So we see here, God wants His children to grow and to experience these blessings of His grace every day. Therefore, we see the only way to do that is to go through trials sometimes and temptations that we may grow thereby. In this passage here, we see James emphasizes the goodness of God, and he warns the Christians of rebelling against God's goodness in times of trials. It don't seem good, but God is warning us about these times when we go through rebelling against God, when God is doing something or allowing something to take place in our life that's not what we want or it's not what we think we need. But God knows what we need. He knows what we need. We see here God's goodness in verse number 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God never changes. He's always good. He's always good. Here we see this. So we see here, we see that He makes a careful distinction here between trials and tribulations. We talked about that. We know that trials bring out the best in us, temptation bring out the worst in us. Again, just reviewing. He also describes the birth of sin we went through last week. How we see the enticement from without, and then the lust within. Then lust conceives and becomes sin, and sin brings forth death in our life. So he reminds us here of us that God gives only good gifts. Only good gifts. Good gifts come down from heaven. How can anything bad come from heaven? Amen? How can anything bad come from heaven? Well, that's where God is. Good gifts come from heaven. And we see that we're God's children. We know God. God knows us. He has begotten us or born us again through His Word. Through His Word, we see the saints begotten through the Word of God. We see in verse 18, look at verse 18, of His own will begot He us with the Word of truth. Now, what is the Word of truth? Of course, it's the Bible. God has begotten us, He says, by His own will. It's God's will that we become Christians. And He has enabled us to do that through the Word of truth, which is the Bible, His Word. And we see there that this is what God has done for us. We are, we see here in the second part of that verse, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We have become the first fruits of God. We have become, we are the first fruits of his creatures when we become a Christian. Thank God for that, that he loves us enough to allow his word to be here for us to know him and to know more about him, you see. Therefore, the Christian should not be swift to speak. Look at verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. This is the becoming of a Christian as we go forward. When we are exhorted here to hear the word of God, and to be slow to speak, to be slow to speak. God works out his will in our lives when we're patient, and when we're not angry. God wants us to be patient. That's the only way he can work in us, if we allow him to. When we rebel against God, we're not allowing God to do what he wants to do for us in our lives. So we see here, James is explaining here the perfect gift, God's goodness to us in our lives. Now notice the Christian here in this portion of Scripture. Verse number 17, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness and neither is shadow turn. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We see here, God's word is the most precious thing on earth. It's the most precious thing on earth. Without God's word, we wouldn't know about him. Without God's word, we could not become a Christian. Because the word of God, by the Spirit of God, convicts us and draws us to Christ. So the word of God, first of all, God's word is likened to a gift. A gift. Thank God for the gift of the word of God. I'm thankful that we have this. Now, this is a gift that brings divine light. It brings divine light. It brings us a light upon God that we can know him. We can recognize who he is and see him as he is, you see. But this is a gift, the word of God. Now, when we give a gift, we don't expect nothing from it, do we? But God gives this gift here, and he don't expect anything from us but to believe it, to believe it. You know, we need to believe the word of God. We see the nature of this gift here in verse 17. First of all, it's perfect. It's perfect. The word of God is perfect. We see here, it's good, and also it's perfect. We find in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. God sent his word by the anointing of by the inspiration of the Spirit of God to men to write the word of God. We also see it's from above. The word of God is from above. Now again, I said a while ago, is if it comes from heaven, it's got to be good. So the word of God is from above. It's pure. It's perfect in everything. So we see God gives his book to us. He has given his book to mankind that we might know him. It's a perfect book. It's a gift. It's a gift. You know, it's sad to me to realize that a lot of people will not accept the gift of God. They won't believe the word of God. The gift of God. And how can we, as God's children, but give out the word of God? The greatest gift we've ever received, we want to share with someone else, do we not? That's what he wants us to do. This is the Christian living. It's recognizing that God, in his love, has given us his word that we might share it with other people once we become a child of God. And I'm grateful today that God has given us this. We see here the nature of this gift. We find this in the verse 17. We see here that the nature, he is unchangeable. He is unchangeable. The Word of God is unchangeable. We also see God is unchallengeable. We can't challenge God. We can't challenge God. We can't challenge God's Word because God's Word is true. God's Word will always win, you know? And all these debates that people had in the past about the Word of God, they're all losers. God's Word will always win. God's Word is unchallengeable. It's unchangeable. See, it's a gift of divine light. God has given us His Word that we might know who He is, that we might come to know Him personally, you know, and recognize that He is a God that loves mankind and wants all people to become a Christian to be saved. So see, in the Christian life, living the Christian life, God has provided for us a perfect book that we might come to know Him as our Savior, recognize who we are as sinners, and accept Christ as our Savior. Not only that we might share this perfect gift with other people. This perfect gift with other people. You know, we're grateful today to know that the Word of God does satisfy. Does satisfy. You know, you and I give one another gifts at different times of the year, and we're grateful for those gifts. But I'm afraid sometimes we, after a while, take those gifts for granted. You know, likewise, sometimes we do the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is more valuable than anything I could give you, you could give me. Therefore, we do not need to take it for granted. We need to thank God. As has been said many times, most of us have several copies of the Word of God. And it should be the most precious thing to us in our house and in our living, the Word of God. Because it's a gift from God. It comes from heaven. You know, He's given it to us to enable us to realize who we are and to realize who God is and trust Christ as our personal Savior. So we see here, this gift, it brings divine light. It also brings, it gives us divine life. Life. The life of God. In verse 18, the Bible says, we read it a while ago, of his own will begot He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So we see this gift brings divine light. The old book has given the new life. The blessed old book. Take a new look at the old book. Amen? Take a new look at the old book. And realize that God's Word has been around a long time. And it's still doing today what it's always done. When it's preached, when it's taught, when it's proclaimed. God's Word is still as powerful today as it's ever been. It's still as good today as it's ever been. So we see here, it's a gift that brings divine light. If it's of His own will, it's of His own will to begot us, to birth us. It's God's will that we could be saved. You know? My, what a God to want us to be saved. My, what a God to provide a way for us to be saved through His Word. Show us His love through His Word and what His Son has done for us. It's also according to the will of God. It brings divine life. It's also according to the Word of God that it brings divine light. And also according to the wisdom of God. Look at the last part of 18. That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. The wisdom of God. God wants us to be His children. He wants us to be saved. And I'm grateful today to know that we have His Word. His Word is likened to a gift. A gift from heaven. To give to us that we might recognize who God is and who we are and trust Him as our Savior. God's Word is also like a graft. I know Brother Wheeler knows, he's familiar with grafting plants. You take a bud or a shoot from one plant and put it in another and wrap it together in the right place, and it produces another kind of whatever it is, a fruit or whatever it is. Well, God's Word is likened to that. See, God's Word affects us. It makes a change in us. You know, we often say if you can be saved and not know it, you can lose it and not miss it. But also I can say if you can be saved and not be different, you better check up if you're not saved. Because God's word makes a difference in us. It makes a difference in our talk. It makes a difference in our walk and everything about us when God's word is applied to our heart, to our life by faith. God enabled us to be different from that. Notice he says in verse 19, be swift to respond to speaking. Verse 19a says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Swift to hear and slow to speak. Someone said, that's why God's given us 2 years and 1 mouth. We need to listen twice as fast and as more as we do speak, you know. We need to learn to listen. It's very important in our lives, you know. Sometimes we don't listen like we should to God especially, you know. May God help us to be swift to respond to speaking. That is, may we be slow to fall back to speaking. In other words, we need to learn to realize that God is speaking through us through His Word. And when we read God's Word, it's very important that we listen to what God is saying to us. I know sometimes it's good just to read God's Word out loud to me, that I might listen. When I read God's Word silently, I'm afraid I'm not listening the way I need to. So sometimes I read God's Word out loud and ask the Spirit of God to show me and teach me what He's trying to let me know at that time, you see. It's very important that we recognize the gift, the Word of God, that He has given to us in this Christian life. I said to someone the other night, I said, can you imagine what it would be like to not have God's Word? When I asked myself that question, I find out really how valuable and how important God's Word is to me. Is it really important to me, the Word of God? Do I recognize it as something very precious from God to me that I might use, God may use to enable me in my Christian walk and in my Christian life? I can't imagine not having the Word of God. I can't imagine not being able to read God's Word every day in my life. That's our strength, folks. The Word of God is our spiritual food, literally. Without the Word of God, we're going to get weak. We're going to fumble. We're going to fall. We're going to fall in sin. We're going to get out of church. And all these things that can happen to us. And we see this happening to a lot of people today. They get out of church because they're not reading the Word of God. Therefore, the Word of God is not having any effect on their lives because we don't allow it to. We don't allow it to, you see. So we see in the Christian life, as we live this life, probably the most important thing to us is the Word of God. The Word of God. And we need the Word of God as we go through this life in this world in which we live today. Would you not say that? We need something to help us, and God has given us the Word of God to help us in our walk when we live here on this earth. So we see here that it's very important that we recognize what God has done for us. What God has done for us. The Christian life, God has given us the perfect gift. The perfect gift being His goodness. His goodness He shares upon us. Nothing but good comes from God. Nothing but good comes from God because He is good. The saint was born again through the Word of God. The Word of God enables us to become a child of God, a child of God. Do we realize sometimes, I think, we may take for granted that we are a Christian, that we are a child of God. But God in His mercy saw fit to put you and to put me in the midst of the Word of God. In church, in Sunday school, somewhere, somehow, God has allowed us to be in the right place at the right time to hear His Word and recognize His goodness and recognize our sinfulness and recognize that we need to trust Christ as our Savior. My, let's don't take that for granted. In our life as a Christian, let's don't take that for granted for what God has done for us. You know, I realize sometimes we as Christians, we are bombarded. It seems like on every side. And I say this, As I try to teach about trials and temptations, I'm finding myself more tried than I've ever been in my life. But I realize that's the work of Satan, you see, because I'm trying to do what I need. I need to recognize where these trials come from. I need to recognize where all these things come from in my life and realize that I have a God in heaven that's going to see me through whatever I face in this world, in this life, you see. Because I can't make it on my own. There's no way that I can, no way I can. So we see here that we are exhorted to hear the Word of God, to listen to the Word of God, to apply the Word of God in our life because it's so valuable to us. And we are exhorted also to be slow to speak, to be slow to speak. You know, you often heard, be sure your mind's in gear before your tongue stops the flapping, you know. Be sure you know what you're going to say before you say it. And that's very important in our life. So we need to recognize that as a Christian. And so we're going to continue, Lord willing. Next week, I'm talking about reasons why we should obey God's word. We should obey God's word. The most precious thing we have on earth, and my, how we need to learn to obey it, how we need to learn to recognize what God's word is to us. The characteristics of faith, we're going to begin to talk about. The things that faith would do. Faith enables us to do things that we don't normally do. So we're going to talk about, first of all, faith. Faith in Christ, as a Christian, obeys the Word of God. Faith obeys the Word of God. Now, when we read the Word of God, what it says, we need to learn to obey it. Obey it. We see here is very important. We're going to see here how James, he speaks of the treasure we have. The treasure we have, the Word of God. He also speaks about what true religion is. Do you really have salvation? Do you really know the Lord as your Savior, you see? He talks about all these things as we continue through that and find out why we need to obey the Word of God. You know, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Sacrifice. I'm thankful today to know that this Christian life, we have a guidebook. We have the authority. We have a direction. We have what we need to live the Christian life. We have the Word of God. And also we have the Spirit of God that lives within us. So folks, we're not alone. Sometimes in the world we may seem we are alone, but we're not alone because God is always with us. He's going to help us. Our journey is going to soon be over with, folks. Just a few more days, and we'll be over there. We'll be over there. And we won't have to worry about no more trials, no more tests. They'll all be over with, you know. I thank God for that day. As the songwriter put it, in the sweet by and by, we're going to be with the Lord Jesus forever. I'm looking forward to that. I know you are. But unto them, we have this life to live. And I'm thankful that God has provided us His Word to enable us to be able to live for Him and that our life may count for Him from day to day. What a privilege it is, folks, to be a Christian. What an honor it is to be a Christian and know Jesus Christ as our Savior and to live for Him. As we go out into the world every day, we see people that are troubled on every hand. And they need the Savior, just like we did. Let's be cautious of that. Let's be conscious of that, I should say. That people need the Lord in their life. May God help us to share the Christian life with them, like He would have us to. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for salvation. We thank You, God, for the opportunity that You give us day by day, Lord, to live for You. Father, without You, we know that we are nothing. We can't do anything. We sure need Your strength. We sure need Your Spirit to infill us, Lord, as we go through every day and face the things we have to face. And God, we're grateful that You have promised to help us in every situation. So, Father, we commit ourselves to You as Your children that we might live for You. Bless each one here today. God, those that may be discouraged, I pray You'd encourage them by reading Your Word. God, we all need that day by day. So, Father, have your will and way now in our hearts and lives. And, Lord, may our lives, even today, count for you somehow as we journey this journey to be with you one day. Bless now this service we're about to go into. Have your will and way. May Jesus Christ be honored. May someone be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.